I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in, and then the light from heaven filled my soul. He bathed my heart in love and wrote my name above, and just a talk with Jesus makes me whole.
Now let's
have a little talk with Jesus, tell him all about our troubles, hear our faintest cry, answer by and by. Find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. I may have doubts and fears, my eyes be filled with tears, but Jesus is a friend who watches day and night. I go to him in prayer, he knows my every care, and just a little talk with Jesus makes it right.
Now let
have a little talk with Jesus, tell him all about our troubles, hear our faintest cry, answer by and by. Feel a little prayer will turn in, know a little fire is burning, find a little talk with Jesus makes it right.
Now let us
have a little talk with Jesus, tell him all about our troubles, hear our faintest cry, answer by and by. Hear a little prayer will turn in,
and you'll
know a little fire is burning. Find a little talk with Jesus makes it right.
Hallelujah. Before I get into my message today, I want to share a few things that are happening. How many of you know who James Coates is? Nobody? None of you. He is a pastor in Edmonton that is in jail. Yesterday, they arrested him, what, a week ago or so? Yesterday, I listened to his last message, and guess what he was teaching on? Romans chapter 13, and his message, for those of you who listened to my message on Romans chapter 13, it was basically the same idea, the same way, like a good government makes good laws. And if you got an evil government, then you have to ask questions. And it was his last message before he went and gave himself up. And there were police, RCMP, in the service. They were taking notes. And this one, ex-RCMP, I heard him get up and say, well, for the police who do the arresting, they're going against the law of the Constitution of Canada. And he really let them have it. That was his last service. And so he made a mistake. They told him to give himself up. He went and did. I would have stayed with my wife, with a camera, let them arrest me. And if they come arrest me, I can imagine my wife sweetly saying, what are you going to do with my husband? I highly doubt that. So now, all of a sudden, they give him a choice. If you stop preaching, then we'll let you go. And he declined. He said, no, I can't stop preaching. And now they pushed his date, his court date, to May the 3rd. And while they were saying that, I was wondering what I would do in that situation. Because I listened to the best of them. I remember listening to a little Hutterite preacher. He asked me, Dave, hump this prayer meeting to Amica House? No. Why would you think of that? I would have told those guys, maybe I would have told those guys, I'll stop preaching, but maybe next week I'd be in church again. Why would I do that? Maybe it's my nature, or I don't know. It's my makeup, because King David, he told his top advisor, I want you to join the ranks of my son Absalom. Don't tell him a lie. Just give him a little misinformation. How do you like that one? Just give him a little misinformation. He did, and it worked out good for King David, right? By the way, did anybody pass along the rumor I started last week? None of you? You don't even remember the rumor I started last week. What good is it for me to start a rumor? A little misinformation, what the heck? You didn't pass it on that the COVID, somebody sticking the name of the COVID police. None of you passed it on. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that. A lot of good dad did. None of you passed it on. Okay. Little misinformation, King David. We have to think a little bit. I was reading something interesting with Mr. Wurmbrand. They would ask him questions. Could you give us names of the Christians? And he'd name all the higher uppers in the government. He had fun with them. Mr. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, he would give him some misinformation. And as I remember, Abraham said to his wife, don't lie to those people, but tell them you're not my wife, you're my sister. A little bit of misinformation, that's all it is. So is it right? I don't know. All depends how sensitive you are in your upbringing or whatever. Anyways, that's what's happening out there. That poor guy's going to be in jail now. And they say he's in maximum security. They let him away with ankle things and handcuffs. I don't know when that's going to stop, but God has to stop it somehow. So what's going to happen? We'll leave it up to the Lord, and we'll pray and hope that the church will wake up. Years ago, I remember, a couple of years ago, I remember teaching here how we all need a relationship with God, because we never know when they will stop us from going to church. And guess what? It's happening. Churches are shut down. In California, you can go to a strip club, but you can't go to church. I wonder if they changed that law already. Unbelievable unrighteousness when the governments are in the wrong. It says when the people who make the laws are unrighteous, then the people suffer. But when they have good government, they rejoice. So what God has to do is bring on a revival so that the churches will wake up to the dangers of what could happen. We're by grace here. It's not something that we ourselves have somehow earned. It is the grace of God to live in a free country. And if we, the church, don't step up to the plate, then it could very well go down the drain. But by the grace of God, His church will stand in the gap. And from what I learned and read in the Word of God, the church will keep back the evil. Until the church is taken out of the way, then will the evil one appear. So I have a request. Let's stand in the gap, pray, seek the face of God, and do what God has commanded us to do. And in the meantime, we'll keep on occupying till he comes. So before we get into this message today, it's an interesting one. It has a point, as all of them have. Before we get into it, let's rise and ask the Lord for blessing. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace. We ask that you will open our hearts to the Word of God. Open our ears and our hearts to your voice so that we can understand and proclaim your word. Lord God, we want to bring as many into the kingdom as possible, and we will do that by your grace in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. The power of the Holy Spirit was only for the Jews before Jesus came on the scene. When you study the Old Testament, the power of God came down sometimes to a point where it shook the nation. We remember when the power of the Holy Ghost separated the waters at the Red Sea, and at the same time as Israel walked through dry land, he also killed Pharaoh's army. We know that the prophets used the mighty power of God to the point where they could basically do anything, walk across Jordan River on dry land. They would do anything. But God used them in that power. It was unnatural sometimes that they were in what they were doing. But then when Jesus came, he made a statement. He said, "Greater works will you do than I did, because I go on to the Father." What did Jesus try to teach his disciples? How to cast out devils, how to heal the sick, how to raise the dead, how to multiply food, how to control the weather. For those of you who think it's just a good storybook, I got news for you. It is an instruction book. He was trying to teach them how to operate. And they operated to a certain degree in that when the power of the Holy Spirit came down at Pentecost, he said to them, "Wait at Jerusalem till the one that I will send will come." Now listen to Acts chapter 2 in verse 1. "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." So this is something that hasn't happened before. They were all of a sudden filled with the Holy Spirit. The mighty power of God was released upon this planet. And incredible, strange things happened that were unnatural to the ordinary human being. Listen to Acts chapter 2 in verse 5. "And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because every man heard them speak in his own language." That is very interesting. I find it very interesting when an evangelical tries to explain tongues. I'm not talking about a Pentecostal or a charismatic. The evangelicals try to explain tongues. Dear old Perry F. Rockwood, it was languages they were speaking. No, it says they heard their language. How many people were there? About 3,000 that came to know the Lord in that day. It says, "And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these that speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born?" Now there were 120 people there, men and women, not just men, remember that. And they were all praying in tongues, and they maybe were staggering around a bit. I remember when King Saul was hit with the Holy Ghost and he fell to the ground and prophesied for 3 days. Anybody who ever read this story? Very interesting. So here they were, everybody speaking in tongues, and people were hearing them. And theologians would say, oh, they were speaking in languages. Well, what kind of language? Each individual language. Can you imagine 3,000 people standing there and 120 people preaching at the same time in different languages? What would have happened? Total confusion. Or they would have had to separate. I'm of this language. I'm of that language. You're teaching this language. You're teaching that language. No. God opened their ears to understand the tongues that they were preaching. Just like sometimes in Pentecostal churches, and I've been to them, somebody would pray in tongues and somebody would interpret. He hears, he understands. I remember at a prayer meeting once, we were praying in tongues, and this lady who never was there before said, I can understand you as if I'm hearing English. Very interesting. Tongues is a gift from God. You do not shun it. The Bible speaks. Forbid not to speak in tongues. And here we are. They all heard the gospel being preached in a tongue that they understood. Do you think that was by mistake? No, that was by design. It was God's power. And in Acts chapter 2 in verse 13, it tells, and others mocked, saying, these men are full of new wine. Very interesting. For those of you who had the experience of the power of the Holy Spirit coming down, will understand and do understand that it's almost similar to when you get filled with real wine. You, after a while, quit caring what people think of you. You just go about doing what you feel like doing. Remember, the spirits are subject unto you. You can shut it off if you want to, but with real wine, you can't. So there was a similarity there. People were maybe staggering around. They were maybe doing strange things. It doesn't tell us. It just tells us they seem to be drunk. Has anybody seen a drunk person? I have. I remember me and my brother, we'd get drunk. He'd start to cry. I'd start to laugh. Very interesting how your emotions are, how your feelings are at that moment. That's how you're going to react. Some start to laugh. Some start to jump around. Some start to roll around. This is what happens when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. A person, he determines how it's going to be. That's why many churches do not want the power of the Holy Spirit, because they lose control. And once you lose control, that's when the fun begins. That's when your ears open. That's when you start seeing the wisdoms of God. And it doesn't matter what people think. You don't care because you're filled with this new wine. Now listen to Acts chapter 2 in verse 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, you men of Galilee and all you that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken unto my words. For these are not drunk. They're not drunk with booze. Yet, as you suppose, seeing it's but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. Interesting how the prophet Joel describes these things. When the power of God comes down on a person, if a person in the flesh cannot handle the power of the Holy Spirit too good. it starts to vibrate, it starts to shake, it starts to laugh, it starts to cry. And you know what? I've experienced and seen these things. I'm not kidding. God, when he moves, he comes upon a person the exact way he wants to. He knows how you think. He knows what you're made of. He knows what hits you, what would do the best for you. And that's how he comes upon you. Listen to Joel in Acts chapter 2. It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall do what? They shall prophesy. What's prophesying? Telling of things to come. And your young men shall see visions. You will see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. When you listen to the testimonies of the Muslim people, they have visions and dreams. How God comes to them and speaks to them about Jesus, about salvation. All this is for the salvation of a man's soul. Remember, these things are done in part, and one day they'll disappear. But for now, we need them. For what? To bring people into the kingdom through signs and wonders and miracles and preaching of the gospel. It says, and on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in these days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. That's not me saying this. That's the Holy Spirit speaking down through the ages. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I don't only pray for those disciples here, but also for them that will believe on me through their word. So that includes us. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor and smoke. So these things have happened throughout the ages. When you study the revivals of yesteryear, they're not much. People don't like to talk about them, but you can dig them up on YouTube now because they're on there. The revivals of England, John Wesley, powerful, unimaginable things happened. People would come close to where they were preaching. There would be about 1,000 people there, and they would be preaching. People would come to within a quarter of a mile, and they would fall off their horse under conviction because of the power of God that was so strong. You can read of Germany, the same thing happened there with the revivals that were going on. It happened a little bit, little bits and pieces throughout history. The power of God coming down upon this earth. But we're going to have very shortly the grand finale. You know what a grand finale is? When you watch fireworks, what happens at the grand finale? That's when they shoot up everything they got. Everything goes up there at once. And you just sit for 1 minute in amazement as you see everything happening. And this is what is going to happen when God is going to pour out the latter rains. It'll bring in a harvest that will completely overshadow all the harvests that we had, all the outpourings that we've had throughout the history of the last 2,000 years. God is going to move in a mighty way because a short work will he do. His last harvest is coming in, regardless how the church agrees or disagrees. I was listening to not too long ago to a man of God, and he said, there is absolutely no way the rapture could happen right now because the church is at each other's throat. To this is right and that is wrong. They're accusing and excusing one another. How can Jesus come back for a bride like that? Are we making the Jewish people jealous? No, we're not. How is that going to happen? He will pour out his spirit in a measure that we have never seen before. And how and when will that be? According to a lot of preachers, we are closing in on the end times. So we do not have much time left. It tells us in Isaiah, listen to this. In Isaiah chapter 59 in verse 19. And we're seeing the enemy coming in like a flood, right? We've seen the last year, mask mandate, staying at home. You can't go to church. You can't have Christmas parties. They're basically shut down the whole country. The suicides that are out there are unbelievable. The depressions. And they even closed down the hospitals. They wouldn't even allow people to go in for hospital care, which is good because they, most of the time they don't can't do anything anyway. So here is what's going to happen. When the enemy, so when the fear, so shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. Now listen to this. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, which it did, the enemy came in, the Spirit of the Lord shall rise a standard against him. What is that standard? What's going to break the mask mandate? What's going to break the lockdowns? What's going to break the foolish laws that the Canadian government and the American governments are putting out? It's going to be the power of the Holy Spirit. How will he do it? He will move through people that are into God, that know who God is. And that's how he's going to do it. And by the looks of it, he will have to do it shortly. It says in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 in verse 14, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. I've heard that scripture being read not too long ago by a politician, but he left out, turn from their wicked ways. That's very, very important. They have to turn from their wicked ways. What are their wicked ways? If they will turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. What are the wicked ways that God is talking about that his church is into? I will explain it to you in a few short script, in one short scripture. In Isaiah chapter 56 in verse 10, his watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark. Very interesting. Sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yea, they are greedy dogs. Look upon the church system today. Greedy dogs, forgotten how to bark. I could name a few ministries you could listen to. They have no idea what barking is. They're sleeping. They love slumber. They're greedy dogs. As long as I get my paycheck, my $500,000 or $100,000 a year, I'm okay. Greedy dogs, they can never have enough. They are like shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their way, every one for their gain and from their quarter. Does that spell something to you when you go on YouTube? When you listen to what is going on in the church world today? You know what my suspicion is? Many of those churches are infested with demons that are standing in the pulpit. That, I personally believe, is the big problem. But there are also some who are in it for the money. All they care for is the money. They're greedy. And there are those who have absolutely no testicle fortitude. They have forgotten how to bark. Very interesting. You know what that word means, testicle fortitude? Translate it if you want to. They have forgotten how to bark. When is the last time we heard a sermon on abortion? The terrible killing of the children, 60 million in the last 30, 40 years or 50. How about homosexuality? Nobody wants to talk about it. Most of the time, those who are into abortion are also into homosexuality. The transgender laws that they now pass. A man can go into a lady's bathroom. Look at how awful the governments are operating, passing laws like that. For those of you who are listening, if you are somewhere in the States and have voted for Joe Biden, the sleepy guy, the one who's slowly, slowly deteriorating in front of our eyes, if you voted for him, you voted for abortion, you voted for same-sex marriage, and you voted for transgender and all the others. Horrible stuff that they're bringing in. That's on the Christian who voted like that. You need to repent because maybe God will forgive you if you repent on time. It's awful what's going on. They're greedy dogs. They want their money. I'm not going to speak about homosexuality. They're going to take my number away. Then we don't have any income tax receipts. I'm not going to speak on abortion. That's human rights. We can't speak on that. Oh, yes, I can. They warned me on the radio. Don't speak on that. And I said, non-negotiable, non-negotiable. You can shut me off if you want to. I preach the word of God. And that's it. If God deems it right that I'm not on radio anymore, then so be it. But it's on you if you do it. You have stopped the voice of God going out. So here is where we stand today. These watchmen, they're blind. They slumber. They're all thinking of their own little quarter. That's called selfishness. But one of these days, God is going to pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. Do you remember the disciples before the Holy Spirit came down upon them? I'm going to sit at the right hand of Jesus, not you. They were arguing back and forth who was going to have this position, who was going to have that position, almost like the church today. I'm the pastor. I'm a deacon. I'm this, I'm that. Who cares what you are? And then when the Holy Spirit came down upon them, they forgot about what position they were going to be in. They had one thing in mind, and that was to preach the gospel. And let me tell you, they turned the world totally upside down. And we are right now in that place where the disciples were before the Holy Spirit came down. We're all fighting for position. Everybody from his quarters. There are those who are dumb dogs. They can't bark. There are those who are greedy dogs. They want everything for themselves. But one of these days, the Holy Spirit will pour out. And then they will forget their own ambition. Why? Because when the Holy Spirit works in you, you forget about yourself and you only think of what God has in mind for you. Isn't that something good to look forward to? So when you hear of the rapture, when you hear of the Holy Spirit being poured out, let me tell you, I get excited. Either way, I'm going to have fun. Because this is what I've worked up to. A power of God moving or me leaving. One of the two. Either which way, I can't lose. I got it made. Why? Because Jesus is my Savior. And for those of you who are listening, there's only one way into the kingdom of God. And that's through the blood of Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. You cannot sneak in any other way. No religion is going to save you. No doing good. No, whatever you're into, it ain't going to help. You got to be born again by the Spirit of God. And if you don't come, this is the good part, knowing that we have this awesome salvation. How about if somebody rejects it? The Bible calls it the eternal lake of fire, where the smoke of their torment will arise forever and ever. Can you imagine? We came out from God. We always were in one form or another. We come from God. Our spirit comes from God. And we are never going to cease to exist. We are an eternal being. And for those who reject God, for those who don't want to follow Him, they will have to spend their eternity in the eternal lake of fire. And let me tell you, every now and then, when you try to bring your head into this mode where you can think forever, burning, separated from God, in outer darkness, totally isolated by yourself, no hope, no plan, no nothing for the rest of eternity, no purpose, think of that. That's what will happen to the Christ rejectors. But God is good. He is willing that none perish. And those that come to Him, He will in no wise cast out. So open your heart to this and become a blessing to yourself. Amen. Hallelujah.
I've tried in vain 1,000 ways, my fears to quell, my hopes to raise. But what I need, your word has said, is ever only Jesus. You died, you live, you reign, you plead. There's love in all your words and deeds. This weary heart finds all it needs in ever only Jesus. I want to know you, Jesus, my Lord, King of the heavens, King of my soul. I trade my treasures and all my rewards, Jesus, to know you and know you more. Though some should curse me for your name, I have no fear, I have no shame. You stand with me for all my days, my ever only Jesus. I want to know you, Jesus, my Lord, King of the heavens, King of my soul. I trade my treasures and all my rewards, Jesus, to know you, then know you more. Like wave after wave on the ocean, like all of the sand on the shore, your beauty know you more. Like wave after wave on the ocean, like all of the sand on the shore, your beauty and glory are endless. Oh Jesus, I must know you more.
trade my treasures and all my rewards, Jesus, to know you, then know you more. So I want to know you, Jesus, my Lord, King of the heavens, King of my soul. I trade my treasures, all my rewards, Jesus, to know.